I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
How do I date at this stage in my life? And how do I explain the plight of menopause to the people that I'm dating? And I think we can go back to what Crystal's advice was, is like, sure, you don't have to explain anything to anybody, right, first of all.
Except for if you're having a hot flash in the middle of a restaurant.
Right.
Like, you might,
yeah,
offer something. I don't know.
Yeah.
That one,
like, what do you say?
It almost, like, it makes me think of, like, some Hollywood movie, like some rom-com where it's like this, yes, comedic thing.
Oh,
where,
yeah,
this...
like Sex and the City. Did you,
yes,
watch Sex and the City when Samantha's going,
yes,
through treatment?
She's eating all of the sweet potatoes to get all the estrogen.
Wait, no, that was for the movie, but yes.
Oh, right.
But there was a, when in the show.
She has hot flashes.
She has hot flashes, yeah.
But Samantha is like, this is who I'm picturing. Like, yes, that's kind of like who you're describing.
She is
this
very
beautiful,
much
intelligent, badass motherfucking woman that doesn't answer to anyone and doesn't need to explain herself, but yet is being humbled by going through something like this, which is fucking hard.
Hello, everybody.
Hello out there. How was season one? What did you guys love about,
yes,
season one?
Tell us everything. So welcome to the Radically Well podcast. You are listening to what?
The voice of Rosie Acosta. Well, that's you. I don't know how I'm announcing
And Tessa
you.
Tovar.
Yeah,
that's you.
That's me.
We are so excited. We're recording this virtually because it's time for our season one to wrap up. How do you feel about that?
I just fucking love this podcast so hard. So I just want to keep going. So I think it's like, it's kind of hard to take a break because I feel like we have all this momentum and all this amazing content and so many amazing guests coming up for season two. So I'm just excited.
I am too. I'm glad that the way that we structured this, and we've not talked about this, but it was supposed to be just one season. And technically, I think when we first started it, it was just going to be 6 episodes, and then it turned into 12.
Yeah, we just kept going.
And now it's like we're going to start recording season two. And yeah, it's obviously bigger, it's better, and we're so excited. So we wanted to let you all, especially those of you that are new here, know that we will be taking a little bit of a break before season two begins. And I'll let Tessa tell you more about that.
Yeah. So we're going to take a 2-week break, so don't go anywhere. And if you missed any of the season one episodes, now's a good time to go back and re-listen. And then when we do come back in May, we are going to recast some of our favorite scenes from,
yes,
season one episode, which I'm so excited about because it just is like such a nice, even for me, like I re-listen to episodes over and over again, and I always learn something every time I listen. Kind of like,
yeah,
reading my favorite book over and over again.
Yeah. Well, that's what's nice too. Whenever we get the final cut and we both listen to it.
Yeah.
It's always so, I'm laughing, I'm crying, I'm critiquing every single thing. I'm critiquing every single and like, you know, that I say.
Yeah. Oh gosh. My favorite's listening to it with Jorge. When he's like our Rigoberto, which is like, do you know who I'm referring to when I say Rigoberto, Rosie?
No. Who's Rigoberto?
This is a character from one of Jorge's favorite comedians, and I cannot remember her name. He's going to kill me. But he's always listening to her because she's always making fun of her husband, whose name is Rigoberto. And he's like, I'm your Rigoberto. We don't make fun of him, but he is good material.
He is very good material. And the same with Tor. And I'm so glad that sometimes on, we watch YouTube, that's are now consumable media that we watch when it's time to sort of wind down for the day. And sometimes our shorts come up on the feed. Yes. And I always am like, oh God, forward, forward, forward. Because I don't know what I'm saying. You know, sometimes when I talk about him, I'm really grateful that he is not avid listener of the podcast.
Oh my gosh. I know. Jorge has surprised me. He's been like our biggest fan. I call him our biggest fan because he listens beginning to end to all the episodes.
Yeah, no, that's great. And before we let everybody listen to this episode, I want to remind everybody out there that the Radically Loved Collective is open. She's available. She's there to support you. She's there to help you live your best life. It's a community. It's free, which we can get into.
Yeah, tell me about that.
Well, look, the gist is, if you want the full inside scoop, I did write about it on my most recent Substack, and it's titled, We Launched, and Within 8 Hours, I Hit the Pause Button, which was hilarious. And I go into the whole story behind the scenes. Obviously, you were privy to everything that was going on, but really the sort of gist of why I decided to make it free was because the intention behind the collective was never to create like a product, right? The collective is a community. And so obviously knowing what we know about investing in yourself and in things that you perceive have value, the psychology behind it is that we are more invested, right? So it makes sense to join something that you are paying for and that you have some vested interest. But I just feel like, I don't know about you, but the state of the world is kind of insane right now.
Oh my God. Yeah.
It is like wild, wild country, literally. And it just was feeling so out of alignment for me, even though the team was just like, this is what you have to do. It's the standard. It's priced appropriately with the market and what you're doing for the community and how you're showing up, you know, the content that you have on there, the courses and your time and what you're providing, all that stuff totally makes sense just from like a building or even like a business standpoint. But it just didn't feel like now is the time to add something else to the list. I mean, one of the things that I talked about on the full story Substack was how Tori and I, even in the last couple of weeks, we've been looking to see, okay, well, do we need all of these subscriptions? Like, where can we sort of streamline so that we can be more mindful of the state of the world. Oh my gosh. And I just, I felt like the feedback I was getting from students, people that follow me, people that were really interested in joining, it was very telling to where they were in their lives. You know, there's been a lot of people that have been recently laid off or people that are really going through it right now. And it just was giving me the feedback that I needed. I'm like, okay, if the majority of the emails that are coming in are asking not only like, what is this, but also, is this going to be worth my money? And is it going to be worth me making this investment. I don't want to have to justify why people need to invest in me or something that I'm offering. Like, I've never been a salesperson ever. And I just felt like offering the community component of it for free for everyone just felt like more aligned with what we're doing. Even the content that we provide on here, Tess, right? Like these podcasts are free. People don't have to pay for it. There's so much free content out there. And I've built my entire career over the last 15 years, providing as much value in the most accessible way as I can. That being said, obviously, I do have to make a living, but this was never meant to supplement that. You know what I mean? So, yeah. So that's why I made the decision. And clearly, as you can see, as you are also part of the collective, that it really allowed people to come in. People started to join and not have the reservations of what does this mean? Or am I going to be sold something? Like, you know, we're so suspicious. I mean, did you read my newsletter? Like, we're always so suspicious when things are offered like this, especially in the industry that we're in. And I get it. I totally get it. I don't begrudge my colleagues for doing that at all. I think it's a business model that works for some people, but it's just not what I want to do. Yeah. So I hope that it helps entice people to join a space where there are other like-minded individuals that want the same thing.
And I think that's exactly what we're seeing now is that everyone's like, okay, this is exactly what I'm asking for, like-minded place where we can talk about goals, help get inspiration for each other, help hold each other accountable. Gosh, it's so needed right now. So I just commend you for creating that space and thank you for making it possible for all of us.
Yes, of course. Thank you. And thank you for being a part of it. And everybody that's listening, join us, like come check it out. It's really a cool space. Like we're going to be doing challenges and talking about these topics. Like Tessa and I will hopefully do some cool Q&As with regard to the podcast. Like people are requesting things and it's fun. It's about us. It's about us. We get to create the space that we want. And I'm really excited.
Me too. Ugh, yay.
And that being said,
please enjoy the season finale of the Radically Well podcast.
Yay. So welcome back to the Radically Well podcast. I'm your host, Rosie Acosta. This is Tessa Tovar, my co-host and producer, who is laughing. I'm not sure why. People are going to be like, why is she cracking up?
I'm sorry. I was picturing.
Here's the thing. I have no problem with OnlyFans. I'm all about it. I think it's great. I have a lot of friends that are on it and are very successful. And
I'm with you.
Right? Yeah. I'm all about judgment. Same.
It's I actually like, maybe a little jelly of the
really?
Successful. Yeah. Like,
okay.
I'd like to let it go.
All right, you heard it here first. Make sure to subscribe, fans, friends, fans and friends.
Fans and friends.
Yeah, maybe not family members.
Oh, that'd be
well, it depends.
Weird.
Well, here's the thing. People think that OnlyFans is like...
It's not all about sex.
It's true. They have other kinds of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never actually been on it. I don't actually know what I'm talking about.
Okay. Maybe we'll have to explore during
Let's
the break.
Let's do some reconnaissance.
Okay, so here's the thing. This is an episode inspired by two of our listeners, okay? Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. And I emailed them both back and I said, listen, we're going to try this out as a topic for the show. Mm-hmm. Whether it works out or not, everybody here, you get to be the judge, okay? Because the question for today... The topic at hand is dating while in perimenopause. Since we've self-proclaimed ourselves to be your hormone besties, they asked us for this advice. And obviously, just disclaimer right at the gate, we have both been in long-term relationships for decades plus. And we have not been in the dating game for a long while. So this is just
purely going to be advice from us as being in long-term relationships and perhaps maybe some past experiences.
Sure.
Here we go. These are the two listeners that sent these questions for us. Tessa doesn't know these, so this is the first time she's hearing. And I did change their names as per their requests. So our first listener, her name is Crystal. She's 43 and she's been divorced for 2 years. She's a mother of two young children, ages 3 and 6. She was married for 7 years and believes she went into early perimenopause right around the time her marriage ended. She's just started experiencing the physical and emotional changes of perimenopause and feels overwhelmed managing her symptoms while also balancing the demands of parenting. Crystal is hesitant about re-entering the dating world and wonders how she can explain her situation and symptoms to potential partners. So there's a couple of things here. We've talked about it before, and I didn't want to get into this long email response back to her. So I thought it would be a really great conversation for us to have. The first thing that stood out to me was that 7 year mark.
Yeah.
Because
it's every 7 years.
Right. Just in relationships.
Yeah.
So she was married for 7 years, and then it sounds like the relationship began to deteriorate. Simultaneously, she went into perimenopause, young menopause. Obviously, she's 43. She's young.
Yeah.
So Crystal is navigating perimenopause, having all of the physiological symptoms, and simultaneously wanting to get into dating. Now, she said she went on a couple of dates, but she's having a really hard time because she is navigating symptoms.
I'd like to understand a little bit more what she's experiencing symptom-wise. It sounds like she's wanting to kind of disclose or be upfront with potential dating partners about what she's going through.
Okay. The two things that she stated in her email were that one of the symptoms was this weight gain.
Okay.
And so physiological changes, but she said she struggled after her last child, which here she says is 6. So then maybe mid 30s. Mm-hmm. And it kind of sounded like simultaneously the perimenopause began or she started to get these symptoms.
Yeah.
And so it seems like to me from what I intuited from the long email that I tried to sort of just deduce to this is that the issues that she's having is they're hormonal and she wants to, you know, get out there and she still wants to have this experience.
Yeah.
But she's also navigating. Yeah. So do you think she should be dating?
Yeah, if she wants to. Okay. Hell yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like put yourself in that position because you're currently in peri.
Yeah. Yeah.
Could you see yourself being single right now and dating?
Dude, with like 2 kids, I don't know if I'd have the energy, but if I think like if I were to like let go of that fast, I don't know if you can as a mother. If I were like, obviously she has a desire to get out there and date.
Yeah.
That's the question. I think it'd be really scary and I would want like, or I would want my hormone besties around me. I would want like a sounding board for sure. So I think it's really smart. She reached out to us. Mm-hmm. And has like you, but yeah, I mean, I'm the kind of person though that will like do the thing that scares me the most. I'm a little bit extra like that. But I don't see why not. Why wouldn't she date if she has that desire? Like we're a human race that's, we want to be partner. We're not meant to be alone. We want to be partnered, right?
Yeah.
So yes, but I guess I would say, I guess my question is like, what's her support system like?
Yeah.
How is she going to get support with being a mother? How is she getting support with perimenopause? So yeah, my first question for her is like, what's your support system look like as you start to navigate dating amongst all of these other things? Because it's like a convergence of all this shit.
Yes.
Going
yes.
through a divorce is hard. Being a mother is hard.
going through perimenopause. Yeah,
like to me, when I saw this, I thought this was a lot. So yeah. I almost wanted to separate all of the things because we also know we've talked about it, the divorce rate when you're entering hormonal right. changes, the increase in that, and how do hormones play a role in my desire to get a divorce? Yeah.
Like, I mean, what's the statistic? Isn't it like 75%?
Yeah, we did. I think we did.
It's high. It's a high statistic.
Yeah, it's a very high statistic. And I just feel like, first of all, getting a divorce is really difficult. Going through a divorce, especially after, you know, a long period of time. You have children on top of that. Yeah. So now this person is going to have to be involved in your life regardless.
Yeah.
And depending on, I don't know the circumstances of why they ended up. To me, what I gathered is that it was her choice. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my question's always, there's also that 7-year mark that really just stays with me because yeah. you and I have both gone through that 7-year itch. Yeah. That is a real thing.
Yeah.
And I'm just putting all the components together. You've got two kids. There's perhaps there is a hormonal imbalance. There's a shift in relationship dynamics after 7 years. There's yeah. just a lot going on. And to me, how long has she, she's been divorced for 2 years. So yeah. my instinct would be always give yourself some time. She's given herself 2 years. Sure. So her biggest concern, it sounds like to me, is how does she balance her symptoms with the demands of parenting, which we're not parents, so we can't really help you there. And I would feel remiss to even try and give you advice on that. You know, I could give you mindfulness practices to manage your stress in those situations, but I think, you know, that's really, you know, maybe we can have a parenting expert. Maybe Dr. What's her name? The Good Inside? Dr.
Becky.
Oh yeah.
Becky Kennedy.
Oh yeah. Maybe we could have Dr. Becky on here. Or yes. we can Zoom her or something.
Ooh, like, that'd be good.
You know?
Yeah.
We can't necessarily help you with giving you parenting advice because neither Tessa or I are parents, but we will link a helpful resource. Dr. Becky is a friend of the show's. But I think the thing that stands out to me the most, Crystal's biggest question to us was, how does she explain the symptoms to her potential dating partners? And I don't know that we need to explain yeah. symptoms to people that we're just meeting.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, that was my knee-jerk reaction is, why are we explaining the symptoms? Is it that you feel like you have to apologize up front for something that's your potential, like, it just seems like maybe try the date first and see if you even like this person and if it warrants like a deeper conversation about what it is that you're going through in your life. But maybe it's not worth the time. I don't know. I think you'd have to meet that person and make a judgment call in that moment.
Yeah.
Based on whether or not there's a second date.
Yeah. I mean, in your current state right now, if you were single, you said yes, you would be dating.
I think I would like to, yeah. Man, that's a hard question to answer. Like, I can say that very easily from this position, sure. right? But
I'm just thinking in terms of like how you feel, like
sure.
mind, body, spirit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm with you. Like, I agree with you.
Yeah. I mean, it's okay if you don't too. I always yeah, yeah. like to hear the
yeah.
counter argument.
Yeah, no, I would never. I mean, I would say that I 100% agree.
Yeah. But I mean, I think it's a good question. Like, I'm sure I'd be grappling with the same thing. And that's why my immediate follow-up question was like, what's your support network like? Because if you are choosing to date, you're going to, at least for me, I've always found it helpful looking back on when I was dating. It was so helpful to have other, you know, girlfriends who were kind of in that same dating realm or just somebody that could see that objective third party view
yeah.
about what I was going through. Because when you're going through the thing, sometimes you can't see the forest yes. through the trees.
Yes.
So it's nice to have somebody else that can be like, yeah, that's valid. Or mm-hmm. have you thought about it like this? Or Maybe you don't, maybe you don't need to explain your symptoms up front.
Yeah. The thing that I also found interesting as I was reading through this is, and there was four or five exchanges back and forth. And obviously she said that we could talk about her on the show, and I have written consent. I say that because one of the things that I was intuiting with regard to the symptoms, and we kind of got to it towards the end, was this sort of physiologically, like how she's feeling about her body.
Yeah.
Like she's not feeling fully confident. So yeah. She's, and what I gathered is that was part of the reason why it has been 2 years, because she's been trying to get back to this place of, I'm going to say air quotes, normalcy. Mm-hmm. And so she found that she just needed to kind of push herself out there and get online and try and have some dates. And this sort of idea of, I don't feel like my best self, but I also want to put myself out there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think that that's also a really interesting place to be, a very challenging place to be. And I said this to her, you know, in our exchanges, the importance of being able to have the self-awareness to give yourself the space to heal, because there's a lot of components. And I expressed that to her as well, and to any women watching this who are going through this. I totally agree that if you want to date, like go and date. It doesn't matter whether you're in perimenopause or menopause or postmenopause or whatever, you know, at whatever age. I mean, there's a statistic here that online dating is common among individuals in their 50s with nearly 23%. So a lot of these people are either, you know, in transition of another relationship, maybe got divorced, maybe they got young, maybe they got married when they were very young. And they, to me, in my mind, I'm like, I wonder what the statistic is of people that got married when they were in their 20s. And then all of a sudden they get to middle age and they do this, what's called a midlife crisis, or they have what's called a midlife crisis. And how many of those? Well, it brings us to our next. Hold on. There was a lot of transitions there. So I think that if you're going through perimenopause and you have a desire to put yourself out there and simultaneously work on yourself, you absolutely can do that. And I don't know that you need to explain anything to anyone.
I would agree with that.
It almost felt like she wanted to explain to these potential partners that she was in perimenopause and that's why she had gained weight, or do you know what I mean? Like kind of a way to explain to them this, I'm not at my normal self, but I still want to put myself out there. Right. Does that make sense? Like that's what I was gathering. And I think as a woman and as women, we oftentimes limit ourselves from doing the things that we want to do, from asking the questions that we want to ask, from taking action, because we feel we're not ready.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so.
Well, and in this case, feeling like she has to maybe shed some weight or change her body image in order to be quote unquote ready to put herself out there.
Right.
And in that case, you know, if that's the mindset that you're going into the dating realm with, I wouldn't say don't do it, but keep checking in with yourself about, you know, I just have so much empathy for this woman, and like so many different things going through your mind and your heart and your soul right now. So be kind, like,
but
if you can, if there's any way that you can show up without apologizing for who you are and what you look like and what you're going through, I mean, can you be unapologetic in who you are right now?
Yeah.
Is my question.
Yes.
Because you got to love yourself. As cliche as that sounds, it's really, really true. It's like you've got to love yourself first. And I don't mean like you can't have these self-doubts and you're if you're having self-doubts, don't go and date. No, still go and do it. It's always an opportunity to learn. Anyone we're dating, even if it's just one date, is going to show you some sort of mirror back to yourself about something that is a trigger to you, something that you need to learn, something that you might need to accept something that you don't want from a potential partner. There's all these like learnings and messages in that. So if you could go, like I always say, approach it with this exploratory hat on of like, what's going to happen? Mm-hmm. And keep checking in. Do I like that? Do I want that? Does that feel good to me when that person opens the door for me? If that person offers to split a check, if that person, you know, all these things that can happen in a date. If that person asks me any questions about myself, like paying attention to those kind of things in a date and how they make you feel, I think that there's only like really some really satiable things you can learn from those experiences.
Yeah. If I'm 43 dating and you're splitting a check with me, we're not having a second date.
Right. Like, and you know that about yourself. So Crystal, do you know that? Like, get kind of like curious about when this thing happens with that person, how does it make you feel? Yes. Is that okay with you?
Yeah. And I love what you said about being unapologetic and you don't have to explain anything to anyone ever. I think that's the main key here. Practice self-awareness, communicate with your loved ones, get a good support system, and practice self-compassion, because perimenopause is, if not the most challenging, one of the most challenging, if not the most challenging thing that we will go through as women. So give yourself the grace, give yourself the space, and just remember that this is a moment and it passes. And you will find love and you will be happy. And the person that you decide to spend your time with will support you and love you regardless of any changes that you're going through.
And don't waste your time on the people that don't.
Yeah, really. Fuck those people.
I mean, that's the advice I'd give to my younger self. You know, if I were in your shoes figuring out whether or not I could date, that would be the advice that I would want to hear over and over again.
Okay, next one, Raquel. Ooh. This one was good. Ooh. Raquel is here in LA. She just turned 50 and also recently divorced. Her marriage ended 11 months ago after 25 years. Mm. Okay. Her ex-husband has already moved on and is dating a much younger girlfriend.
Fuck that guy.
Raquel and her ex have two college-aged kids who are supportive of her but busy with their own lives. She's tried online dating, but during one date, she had a sudden hot flash, leaving her embarrassed and discouraged about trying again. Now, Raquel questions whether dating at this stage of her life is worth it. Mm-hmm. She's feeling self-conscious about her age and her menopausal symptoms.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Ugh. Raquel, I've known for since 2021. So it's been about 4 years. Mm-hmm. And I knew her now ex. And I think she is really going to come to a better phase in her life. I think she's going through it right now, obviously. Mm-hmm. But she is in a much better place. I'll just say it there. I think she will find somebody that's going to treat her better, but let's unpack this. Okay. Oof. So now the situation is she is on HRT.
Okay.
But she's still having some of the, you know, menopausal symptoms. So she has been she's not postmenopause. So she's in perimenopause. She's on hormone replacement therapy. Mm-hmm. First of all, the fact that her ex is already moved on.
I'm kind of stuck there.
I didn't write this, but he started dating this person after about 4 or 5 months mm-hmm. of their divorce. And the divorce was on his part, mm-hmm. which makes it even more challenging because she was seemingly in what she thought was a happy and supportive marriage mm-hmm. for the last 25 and has known him for longer.
And then this sort of happened. And he's obviously, they're the same exact age. So obviously he's going through his own midlife experience.
Yeah.
I think that within itself. Yeah. My brain's kind of like, I'm stuck there a little bit because that's one of my, it's been kind of like one of my nightmares since I got married in my early 20s. Of like, okay, I'm going to marry this guy who's like this gorgeous Adonis. And when he turns 50, he's going to have his midlife crisis and he's going to leave me for this, like that. This is the kind of thing that runs in the back of my head over and over again, right? Like the plight as a,
yeah.
Anyway, so I'm like, that's just, it's heartbreaking to hear. I'm so sorry that Raquel has to go through that. And how is her heart? Like, how is she doing with that? Just that piece.
Oh, yeah. So much compassion. As far as I know, and we discussed, she's honestly, she's doing better than I would be doing.
Okay. That's good to hear.
She's blaming it on the hormones. Uh-huh. Potentially some antidepressants. I'm not sure. Okay.
Sure. Whatever gets you through.
I'm sure she wouldn't care that I'm saying that. Yeah. But look, you know, after being with somebody for so long, like my fear was the same until one of my best friends, Eddie, who we were having this conversation and I said to him, like, my biggest fear is Tori will, you know, get to a place in an age where he's going to want somebody else, you know, he's going to like want a 20-year-old or whatever. And he so gently and lovingly reminded me that I was the 20-year-old. To his ex, but like, so I was in that position.
Yeah.
So I know what it's like to be in the position of, you know, I was the younger.
Yeah. So what would that girl say to Raquel? Does that matter?
I'm an asshole. I'm so sorry. I'm young and dumb and don't know what I'm doing. No, I don't. I feel like I probably shouldn't say that. I'm like, sorry to Tori's ex-girlfriend for ruining your life. Not really. I'm not sorry.
Sorry, I'm not sorry.
I mean, what I said was like, tough shit, bitch. Yeah. You know, because you're young. I don't know. Look, the thing is let's talk about this piece of the feeling of inadequacy. It was the basis of the conversation that her and I were having. Mm-hmm. And this sort of feeling of, you know, I was telling her she's a big fan of the conversations that we're having here. And it's what inspired her to want us to discuss this, you know, and why we have these two questions today is because of her. Mm-hmm. And her big dilemma right now is that piece. She's like, I can manage the hot flashes. I can manage all of this stuff. And I want to date, but I think she's dealing with a lot. She's dealing with the heartbreak of being in a way blindsided by this.
Yeah.
And also, being a career woman and also sort of having this, she works for the entertainment industry. Mm-hmm. So she's dealing with that component of it all.
Yeah.
And now she keeps saying he's such a cliche. Like he's a total cliche.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
And it is true. And, but also the feelings of inadequacy. And it's almost like we do that thing where we sort of put somebody down because we feel a certain way. And not to say, again, it's like he, I mean, I obviously never liked him. And it was so relieving to be able to say that to her finally. And that's another thing. It's like, why do we not ever tell our people? It's like, I hate your boyfriend sucks. He's such a douchebag.
Because they don't listen to us. Anytime I've ever told, because my sister's been through the gamut of the douchebag assholes that I want to like smother with a pillow. And She never listened to me. Yeah. It drove her further away from me and into that dude's arms every time I said, what are you doing with this asshole? Like, leave. You deserve better.
But I really feel like a lot of us, we have to have that experience. And like, even when she started to go through this, you know, last year, and we would see each other, we would have these conversations. I was finally at a place where I finally was said to her, I'm like, well, I'm not entirely surprised. Mm-hmm. The signs are always there. You know, the signs are really always there, but it doesn't make it any less painful.
Yeah.
And she is so incredible and she is so talented and she's so beautiful and she has so much to offer. And I think we have to remember that, right? Yeah. We had this conversation about aging and self-worth and body confidence and all of that. And I think regardless of how confident you feel, it's still heartbreaking to have the person that you love the most leave you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. Well, so is the question for us then, like, how does she move on? Or should she date? How can we help?
I think her question to me for the show was really, how do I date at this stage in my life? And how do I explain the plight of menopause to the people that I'm dating? And I think we can go back to what Crystal's advice was, is like, you don't have to explain anything to anybody, first of all.
Except for if you're having a hot flash in the middle of a restaurant.
Right.
Like, you might offer something. I don't know.
Yeah.
That one, like, what do you say? Well, it almost like, it makes me think of like some Hollywood movie, like some rom-com where it's like this comedic thing.
Oh,
where
like Sex and the City. Did you watch Sex and the City? When Samantha's going through treatment.
She's eating all of the sweet potatoes to get all the estrogen.
Wait, no, that was for the movie, but yes.
Oh, right.
But there when in the show.
She has hot flashes.
She has hot flashes,
But Samantha is like, this is who I'm picturing. Like, that's kind of like who you're describing.
She is this very
beautiful,
much
intelligent, badass motherfucking woman that doesn't answer to anyone and doesn't need to explain herself, but yet is being humbled by going through something like this, which is fucking hard.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, how you go through something like that.
Yes.
And I think it would take some time to like have the confidence again to put yourself back out there.
Yeah. And I said this to her and I can say it here, but I personally think that it's not been a full complete year quite yet. I would give it a little bit longer just to process that bit. I think that because he moved on, she wants to move on.
Sure.
Yeah. And the fact that her ex-husband's now girlfriend is the same age as her kids.
Yeah.
Is really affecting her.
For sure.
And I think it just creates a big, complex emotional experience with the layers of just that within itself. Then you put the hormonal factors on top of that. Then you put the age on top of that, where as we age, women, as we age, it's like, oh, let's trade them in or let's set them aside. And I think that for her, for Raquel, she's at an age and a place in her career where she doesn't need anybody. Mm-hmm. She's successful. She has her life together. She has, you know, a great, incredible career. And it's really a matter of her navigating the heartbreak and establishing what she wants her life to look like. Because it's like, imagine somebody's just changed your trajectory.
Right.
And you didn't want that change.
Right.
It's like if Tori were to break up with me, because, you know, I'm putting myself in the situation and he decides, okay, I want a divorce after 20, whatever, we're not married, but you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I want to be with somebody else. I'm not happy. Kind of blindsiding me.
Definitely.
It's not something I wanted.
But now I'm put into this position where now I have to create a new life and have these new experiences that I didn't want to date. This is not what I chose for myself, but somebody else is making the choice for me.
Right.
So I think that there's a lot to grapple with just that experience at that age. You know, I'm feeling like, now what do I do? You know, I put myself in that position, like if I was single, like, and I was out in the dating world, like I have to tell the person that I'm dating, I can't have children. Mm-hmm. Like if that person wants to have kids, it's like, I can't have children in the natural way. Right.
Sure.
But it's like, just even thinking about those components of everything that you've built in your life that you've shared with somebody else, now you have to share with another person. It's just so jarring.
That is jarring. And I think here's what I'm wondering is something that is that jarring, does it deserve an equally kind of like an equally, I'm not finding the right word because I keep wanting to say like outrageous or like aggressive extreme. Act.
Extreme.
Yes. Thank you. So remember the movie? I'm going to age myself here. Speaking of age.
We love it.
How Stella Got Her Groove Back.
Oh my God. Literally, this is my dad's favorite movie. We'll talk about it afterwards.
I love that this is your dad's favorite movie.
He loves. That's Angela Bassett,
yeah,
right?
Angela Bassett.
Oh, he loves.
What does she
her.
Do? Like, she's going through this thing in her life, which is very similar. And you got to maybe take yourself. It sounds like Raquel might have the means to do this. Take herself out of the situation. Like physically remove yourself from your current life. Take a pause on your career. Can you take a sabbatical or maybe even like a week or two off? Get out of that humdrum daily existence that she shared with this douchebag they were saying goodbye to. And go give herself some time to grieve and be mad and read books and not be on a schedule.
Yeah.
And have a new experience in a new way.
Yeah.
Somewhere
I like
new.
That. Like have an eat, pray, love moment.
Yes.
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 I agree. I think that that would be really nice. And again, I said this to her already, but I don't know that I would necessarily go right into
dating.
Only because if this was something where it was her choice and she's been thinking about it for a long time, maybe the hormonal changes, she realized like she's not happy or he's not supportive or whatever. And I would say, yeah, okay, you maybe just weren't in a good relationship. And that's okay.
Yeah.
And you should be able to make that choice and leave and move on. But because it wasn't her choice and it was just a blindside, she was blindsided by this event. I think you're right. I think it's important for her to be able to just take some time to reflect and just ask herself what she wants her life to look like.
Yeah.
You know, and what was funny is that, you know, as she's on HRT going through this, you know, she does get those moments of like, well, no, I want to go out on the town and I want to like,
that's what I'm saying.
I want to go and, you know, have these different experiences with these different guys and, you know, and I'm like, okay, can you simultaneously go do that? Be in menopause, in perimenopause and heal from a broken heart?
I think so. Okay. I'm going to say yes. I think there that like our emotions are so fleeting, like they don't exist on this linear continuum. Like she's probably going to have a day where she's feeling really good and want to go out on the town and then do it. And then maybe a few days later, it's going to be like a flat line where she needs to stay in bed all day and just cry.
Yeah.
Do that.
Yeah. What if, let's say she didn't have the means to have an eat, pray, love moment?
That's a good question and fair. And I think in that case, I would.
What if this was Crystal? Like Crystal's situation where she's got little kids
and,
you know, kind of a different scenario.
Well, I would wonder if there were a way she could create some kind of like a break from her status quo in that. Does she want to go out on the town and get a babysitter and spend a night being wild? Can she create that kind of situation for herself without like being gone for a week or two or a month?
Does
she have parents she can give the kids to for a weekend and take a weekend away for herself? Can she create like little micro experiences of having the time and the space to have a perspective shift, or having the time and the space to grieve, or having the time and the space to get wild and like go have a one night stand with a 25-year-old dude, you know, or whoever. Okay. Like, why not? Why not? I'm all for it. Like, try it. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean,
safely.
Yeah, safely. Use protection.
Use protection.
Get tested. There's a lot of diseases going around on there. Yeah. Lots of STDs.
Yeah. But don't let that stop you from trying.
But be protected. Don't get crabs.
Correct. I mean, like, go into it with your eyes wide open, right?
Yeah.
Like, do all of the necessary precautions, but mm-hmm. do it anyways.
Okay.
That would be my advice, I think.
Yeah. I like that.
Is that helpful?
Yeah, I don't know. What's the blind leading the blind here? We've not dated in 2 decades. What do we know?
What if we're going through it like in 5 to 10 years?
I mean, I've wanted to get a divorce. We've talked about that. But Tori and I, we've talked about it because it's like I've been in situations in my relationship where I felt like we weren't going to make it. And
yeah.
I acted as if I was moving on. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I think that it really is a sensitive experience to go through heartbreak, to go through changes. Even just being in relationship is difficult, as we've discussed ad nauseum. Mm-hmm. But I think specifically with Raquel and her situation with Mr. Douchebag, I think, as I said to her, give yourself the space, or anybody else, any other person in this situation, any other woman going through these hormonal changes and also wanting to still move on. Like, your life doesn't end just because you're in menopause. Like, it doesn't end just because you're a certain age. We still can thrive. We can still have a new chapter. We can still be happy. We can still want to have sex. We could still have ecstatic experiences. We can still be in love and find love and be completely connected with our life. And to me, I always like to look at it as a win. Everything in life is a win. Mm. It's a win. If this doesn't work out, it's a win, because now you know it didn't work out.
It's almost like an opportunity to create something just for yourself. Like, for her, she could, if she allows herself the time and space to dream a little bit about what she wants the next chapter of her life to look like.
Yeah.
She doesn't have to negotiate with this other guy. Like, it can be all about what she wants.
Yeah.
And it can just be for her.
Yeah, we're really channeling Samantha from Sex and the City in this. Like, that's the avatar. Because I think there's something so empowering about that character.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of us really resonate with that experience. That sort of unapologetic confidence and saying exactly what you want when you want it and having no inhibitions about how you express yourself.
Well, I think the more of us women that start to act that way, behave that way, embody that spirit of Samantha, the less we're going to hear, oh, she's being a bitch. Oh, she's being extra, because it will become part of the norm. It will become part of the societal expectation for a woman to show up and behave in that way. I think we'll question it a lot less.
Yeah. I think the important question, or the next question, would be to ask the men that do go through a midlife crisis like that. What the fuck are you thinking?
Right? No, I do want to know what you were going to say, though.
Well, it's like, why this cliche of a man gets to middle age and they trade in their devoted wife for younger, less experienced, less wise model.
Yeah. Why?
Is
it because they can? Is it because?
I think it has to do, I mean, we can cut this out, but like, it has more to do with the survival
survivalist. It's like more fertile. They're younger. They have more energy. To me, honestly, it's like, it's just because they're easier to control. I don't want to say control, but like they're more impressionable. And so it makes them feel more empowered. I don't know.
Oh, I wonder.
I feel like men are just so intimidated by a woman in power.
I agree.
And I feel like the older we get, the more the wiser we get, the more confident we get is super intimidating to men.
Yeah. I think when you watch probably your life partner go through that, you're like, who is that? She was never like that.
Yeah, she wasn't. And all of a sudden, she's this confident, powerful, successful, beautiful, sexy woman. And guys can't handle that.
Well, it's kind of, if we're keeping this in here, I have a thread that is related to the conversation that you and Tori had.
Okay.
So I keep circling around this idea of the pity sex.
Oh, here we go. Let's get it.
So, and I was asking Tori about this actually today in the kitchen.
Oh, did he give you good stuff?
He gave me like a very simple answer, which is kind of like, oh, okay, well.
Men are simple.
This, yeah, I guess it's not. My thought was like, well, I guess I'm overthinking that one. Anyway, so the question was the pity sex thing, because I think it's related to like the man being like, fuck that, I'm going to choose a younger model, to put it crassly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So after, let's say we're Jorge and I. Okay, I'll use myself as an example. 10 years go by of pity sex, and I'm not into it because of my hormones or whatever, but I'm like, whatever dude's got his needs, so I'll like give him what he needs so he's happy. And then does he get tired of that? My question to Tori was like, but doesn't pity sex get old after a while? Like, yeah, you'll say yes and you're not going to say no, but like, is that fulfilling to you? Don't you want somebody to respond? Well, a 20-something-year-old is going to respond.
Yeah.
You know? And so is that why? Because you're just getting pity sex?
Is it like...
Or does it have any sort of weight? Do you know what I mean?
Oh God, this is such a good question. I don't know that they're going to respond. Like when I was 20, I like didn't even know how to have an orgasm. Like what 20-year-old, I didn't. Like what 20, I don't, for me, like I didn't know how to have sex.
Okay. Well, I guess it depends on like, I'm speaking from the lens of like, I grew up and my mom was like, very open about sex.
Yeah. So this is a different, right? So I come from a staunch Catholic, rigid, Hispanic, very sinful environment where like sex was, you just didn't talk about it.
Yeah.
Like I wanted all the lights off, like do the thing. Like I felt nothing. Like it was just sex, you know? Well, I had sex at a really too young age.
Same.
Right? So I didn't know how to work anything. You know, and I just was like, this is sex, I guess. Like, and I know, and here's the really sad thing is like I know a lot of women who even in their 30s have never had an orgasm while having intercourse with their partner.
I've heard that statistic. Yeah.
She's like, not me.
Well, I don't know if I'm like in this circle of other women who there's this generation of what is this generation of 20 somethings now? Or is it Gen Z? Z or X?
X.
Gen X?
No, Gen X is like Tori's age.
Oh, right. Okay.
Gen Zs
that feel like there was this movement of body positivity and like embracing sexuality and, you know, all the like breaking gender stereotypes, all that stuff seemed like there was this push towards like embracing pleasure.
Yes.
And in my conversations with these 20 somethings, it seemed like there was a lot of sex. I'm making a huge assumption here.
So I kind of went down this path of like, well, of course a 50-year-old man's going to leave me for a 20-something-year-old because they're like all about exploring their bodies and like experiencing pleasure and really embracing just being vital.
Yeah. You
know, being vital. So that's kind of how I got on that thread.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah.
This is my hypothesis.
Okay. So no, that's a good hypothesis. My hypothesis is that every single porn site is all about like young women having sex and being obsessed with sex.
Yeah. That's also true. You know? I agree.
And I think that we're just a society that's addicted to pornography, which is a whole separate topic. And it's creating, but it's also affecting young men. It's creating, you know.
Well, especially if it's a young man who's learning how to have sex by watching pornography.
Yeah.
That's not going to go well
for
the woman that you're having sex with.
Right.
She's not going to like that.
No, that's, again, a separate topic. But interesting conversation regardless. And I like what you're saying about the thesis of the sort of young thing, the sort of maybe men that are older, they want to have somebody that's a little bit less rigid and less stuck.
Or at least somebody who's like really into them.
Yeah.
And if he's paying attention to her and she's like, and I'm like, this is based on a heterosexual couple and she's validating him, it's kind of like he's lost that validation from his wife because she's no longer really interested.
Interesting.
I don't know.
So he's
getting it somewhere else.
Yeah, but and it is a strong hypothesis. I just don't know that it. I don't know. I feel like it's there. It's a possibility. It's also possible that a man is intimidated by a woman who knows exactly what she wants.
I 1,000% agree.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, maybe I want to be with a woman who's less experienced and I can just sort of control.
I think there's many, many layers. Like, I hope that what I'm saying isn't received in a vacuum.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't mean to make it that simple. It's not.
It's not. And it's very complex and there's many layers. But I like what you're saying, though. I think that there is some validity to it. And there's, I'm sure there's, you know, some scenarios where that's exactly true. I don't know. I mean, we're just like spitballing here. Okay. We're not the experts on any of this. This is just conversation, but a good conversation to have nonetheless. And it might be a good question to have with your partner if your partner is open to having this conversation. You know, like,
ooh, how would you approach that?
Oh, I just asked Tori. We have these conversations all the time. Well, he always dated older women because they were always more experienced. That's what he would say.
Okay. So his,
he loved to have lots of experiences. He dated only older women, which I think is sexy. It's like, get it. You know, at a young age, he knew he wanted a woman who knew what she wanted and had experience. And that was always his kind of vibe, which is good. And so I felt like I got lucky when, you know, I kind of came into the picture and I was, you know, younger than him. But also, I always wanted to be with men that were older because I didn't like guys my age.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, but the topic of like the dating the 20-year-olds, so Tori knows Raquel, and it's interesting to see his take on her situation.
What is his take? Do you mind?
He agrees with, you know, her ex being a douchebag and just doesn't understand that midlife cliche.
Yeah. I think I'm wondering,
talking to the mic,
what is the exact question to ask your partner if you want to have this conversation? Is the because I'm wondering, are they going to give you an honest answer?
Here's the thing. I think when you're going through hormonal changes, specifically when it comes to perimenopause and menopause, and you have a partner that you've been with for a long time, you're going to be a different person than the person that they initially started dating or married. Mm-hmm.
I think the important question to ask is, are you willing to stick by me? Are you willing to love me? And are you willing to support me when you like me the least? That's the question. Because at that point, you'll really get a sense of what kind of partnership you have. Now, I think for the question that we just had with Raquel's situation, I think it was more of he's going through changes as well.
Yeah.
And I think that there is a world where two people can be going through life transitions at the same time. Obviously, if they're the same exact age, they're both just turned, they're 1 month apart. Mm-hmm. They both turned 50 and they're both going through a lot. He has decided that he wants his life to look differently. And she thought that her life was happy. Mm-hmm. And I know that exactly for this scenario, and I could speak to it because I knew both of them when they were together, there was a fundamental breakdown in communication for a long time. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's a component there.
Definitely.
And with the question of like what to ask your partner, like what it actually is, I think ultimately is as women, we want to know, will you love me regardless? Mm-hmm. Will you love me when you like me the least? Will you love me maybe when I deserve it the least? When I'm blowing off the handle, when I'm going from 0 to 100, when I'm not wanting to have sex, or when I give you pity sex, when I don't look my best, when I don't feel my best, when I'm emotionally unhinged, will you still love me? That's the question. And really, even if we go back to the first question, it's like, what are we doing? We're looking for love. We're wanting partnership. We're wanting support. So really, if the takeaway from this dating while in perimenopause, we're just wanting to find partnership and somebody to love us while we're going through a difficult time. I mean, that's really it.
Yeah. I think the skeptic in me is like, but people change their minds.
Okay.
And yeah, that's like the vow that you take basically when you get married.
Yeah.
And people change their minds.
Here's where we just bring it back to like the Buddha, and you got to practice non-attachment.
Okay. Yeah.
Everything. I mean, nothing is meant. We rest in the security of the vow and the commitment. How committed are you to this vow that you took? Mm. But that's your own shit. That has nothing to do with the other person.
Yeah, I agree.
You know,
yeah.
That's you. It's like, I am willing to, it's a matter of conditional love or unconditional love. It's a matter of conditional or unconditional love. Mm. Because if I'm loving you only to the extent that you're loving me, mm-hmm. that's conditional.
Yeah, yeah.
Me loving you is, as Mark Nepo says, is accepting all of who you are. All of who you are is welcome. And if there's a part of you that's not welcome, or that I'm trying to change or shift, or that I'm reserving because what if you change your mind, then I'm not loving you fully. Mm-hmm. I'm conditionally loving you as long as you love me. Mm-hmm. Or if I'm loving you but thinking, ooh, but you might change your mind, then I'm not fully here with you. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's like, can we rest in the confidence of our own love for the person? After that, everything is just dust. Like, shit changes, people change, and there's nothing we can do about it. There's no way, there's no fucking hormone you can take. There's no Pilates class you can go to. There's no amount of fucking plastic surgery that you can do. There's no amount of anti-age, whatever. None of that shit matters if the person you're with is not wanting to be there, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And that's really what the situation, You know, she didn't know any of this was even a possibility. So she got blindsided. So in a way, it's like, I hear your question. Maybe had she been more prepared and been more aware of like, well, this could happen at any time. But then it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
So, I think,
yeah.
So would you, how do you, so it's really a choice of how do you want to live? How do you want to be in this experience? Do I want to be living in anxiety or do I want to be living in the present? That's the mindfulness component. Because anxiety is, oh, Tori can leave me. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. My partner, he could leave me. He could leave me tomorrow. He could leave me next year. Like, being in the present is, but he's here right now. Mm-hmm. But right now, today, he's here. So am I going to live in the what if he leaves me, or what if he meets somebody, or what if he decides to take the little girl at the whatever counter at the fucking whatever coffee shop on a date?
The lodge.
Tori has a little girl that has a crush on him at our local coffee shop, and she's really nice to him. And she's not nice to me, but whatever. But like, what if I spent my time in that anxiety?
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
The what if, because that's all anxiety is.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, I hear you. That's, really,
you know,
yeah, that's a great place to end, I think, and be reminded of, because we could go down these what if rabbit holes all day long. Right. And we do see these cliches happening in our society, but guess what? Women like Samantha and Raquel, we get through it and we have fabulous, beautiful, amazing, full lives beyond this shit.
Yeah, this is true. Damn. Love that. Okay. Thank you. Thank you all so much for being here and for being a part of this community and a part of this process. And thank you for sending us your questions. And I think it's really great that we're doing this and that we feel allowed to be, I don't even want to say allowed. I feel so good to be able to have these conversations in the service of women out there who are going through a difficult challenge, you know, because we hear it all the time. So thank you so much for being here. Thank you for tuning in. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. If you have any questions, please send them our way to info@radicallyloved.com. And don't forget that you have a good support system here.
Your hormone besties.
Hormone besties.
Thanks for tuning in.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to the Radically Well podcast. This podcast is produced by Rosie Acosta and Tessa Tovar. Production by Sapphiris Media. Music by Monogram Sound. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for listening.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No.